Amen. Well, we're in the third week of a series on how to experience lasting spiritual life change. And the presupposition of this series is only God can bring about real life change. And to bring about that change, He's designed certain things that He uses to facilitate it. So far, we've talked about personal discipline. If you want to change, He's designed some disciplines for you to participate in: praying, fasting, giving, solitude. Those disciplines where if you'll work those disciplines, they will work in you and on you. Then we talked about last week how God has given us healthy relationships. We can't necessarily go out today and say, I'm going to find my healthy relationship, but God in His providence will help that relationship find you. And if you'll open your eyes, there will be people who cross your path who really love Jesus, who can make a big difference in your life if you will walk with them. The Bible says, he who walks with the wise is wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Today, we're going to talk about how God uses biblical engagement to change us. Now, most of us have heard stories of how someone has found a Bible and God used it to save them. I was at Upward yesterday, and the devotional was by one of our deacons. It was a great devotional. It was talking about how a man who was thinking of suicide found a Bible in a hotel room. He read that Bible, and through the power of the Bible, he gave his life to Christ. He changed his perspective on what life was all about, and he went back and he loved his wife and his family and has been clean for several years now of his problems. And we praise the Lord for stories like this. We hear stories about hardened criminals who are doing time and have nothing but time, but then they read the Bible in prison and they become a new man. We see testimonies or hear testimonies of someone who sees John 3:16 on TV, and they go home and they read that verse, and just that powerful verse grips their heart. One man gave a testimony one time about how he read the scripture on the bathroom wall, and I never heard much after that, really, but I was thinking, why are you reading on the bathroom wall? But anyhow, the common thread of all of those testimonies that we hear is that people engage with the Bible and it has a powerful effect on their life. And we shouldn't be surprised when we hear these stories, because Romans 10 says this: faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ. This is why we want to get people engaged in the Bible all around the world, so that they can have that powerful transforming moment that comes when you get saved and give your heart and life to Jesus. Our text today is in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and the thoughts of man. Let me highlight a couple of words there. First, let's talk about the fact that the Bible is a living document. Most of the Bible was written 2,000 years ago. Some of the Bible was written as long as 3,000 years ago. And yet when you pick up the Bible, you might be like me. I start looking around and wondering who's been, you know, videotaping my life. Because when I read the Bible, it speaks directly to me. It is a living word. It also says that it is an effective word. Nothing provides instruction for life change like the Bible. Some of you really want your life to change. Some of you want your spiritual life to change. But trying to change your life spiritually apart from the Bible is like trying to put together a piece of cheap furniture using Legos. It's impossible to pull this off. You can't use those Lego instructions and accomplish what you're wanting to see. The truth is, the Word of God is effective for life change, and it penetrates. Often I'm so convicted by the Word of God. Have you ever had those moments when you just open the Word and the Word of God just cuts deep to your heart and you know that while there is an intent for the Bible, and there was an occasion for the Bible, and there is one accurate translation of the Bible, it's as if God had designed before the foundation of the world that verse to speak directly to you. Have you ever been there when the Bible has penetrated your heart like that? If you listen to the Word of God and apply it and do what it says, you'll see life change. And here's why. The Word of God intersects every area of your life. Wherever you are in life, whatever issue you're facing, the Word of God gives commands, it provides principles, and it offers advice that if you will follow it, it will change you. A man and wife come in for counseling. Their marriage is in trouble. If they'll follow biblical advice, it will go well. A teenager talks about the pressure that they're facing at school and the temptations are coming at them furiously. And if they'll listen to the Bible, they'll be amazed at how much better their life will be in 5 years, maybe even in 9 months. Financial decisions. People are so overwhelmed, but if they would follow the principles of the Bible to give and to save and to live, it will change your future and it will change your family's future, raising your kids. If you'll invest in your family the way that Scripture says, most of the time you will see an amazing difference in your life. The Bible is powerful and it's beneficial. Now the question is, how do we get the Bible into our life? And I would pose to you this morning that God has ordained two methods of getting the Bible into your life. He has ordained two things to help you to become like Jesus. The first is personal study. The Bible wasn't written just for preachers. It was not just for academicians. It's not the property of the church. It is written for all people. It is God's given word so that we can know Him personally and understand His will for our life. Psalm 119 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." Verse 10. "I've sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hid your word in my heart. I've treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Verse 15. "So I meditate on your precepts. I think about your ways. I want to know what your word says." During this series, I've been challenging people to spend the first 15 minutes of the day with God. And in that time, I challenge you to take His word and read it. Now, there's lots of different methods, and I'm not even giving you a method. You know, if you want to take a paragraph and read that over and over in your quiet time where it just becomes a part of you, fine. If you want to take a verse and you just want to diagram that verse out to where you understand it completely and you just want to meditate on that all day, that's fantastic. If you want to read a chapter a day, read a chapter a day. I read 3 chapters a day. That's kind of in my normal rhythm of what I do. You do whatever you want to do, but get the Word of God in front of you. The Bible is powerful and it will change your life. Method's not important to me. The point is we should systematically, regularly read the Word of God and learn from it. So the Bible has ordained, or God has ordained, personal Bible study to change you. I also believe that God has ordained effective teaching. This should be a part of every person's life. How do I know this? Because the very first command of our Lord the very final command of our Lord before He went into heaven and ascended to the Father, He told us to go and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. There is a teaching component that is to be a part of your disciple making. You are to be taught the Word of God. At the very first day of the first church in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Peter gets up and he teaches. 3,000 people are saved, and then immediately following this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Teaching was one of the gifts given to the church. He personally gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the training up of the saints, so that the body of Christ could be built up. A part of your personal development as a believer is to receive regular instruction from someone set apart by God to teach. We live in an arrogant society that thinks that they do not need teachers. We can figure it out completely on our own. And figuring it out on your own is a part of your development, but it is not all of your development. You are to have someone who the church has given the authority over you to speak the truth of the Word of God into your life. Here at Porter, we have life groups with teachers who are well equipped to teach the Word of God. We have Thrive classes using material that will help you develop and grow in the Word. Hopefully, you feel like you develop and grow from the message of your pastor on Wednesday nights and on Sundays. This is God's design for your life. But what I found is people typically prefer one method over another, sometimes to the point of neglecting one or the other. Please hear me, both are vitally important. If your only fill and fix is coming and hearing your pastor on Sunday morning, you are deficient of a major source of instruction that you need in your life. And if you think that you can do without regular teaching of the Word from your pastor or your teacher that God has placed over you, you are going to be deficient of a needed aspect of development in your spiritual life. Both are commissioned by God. Both are vitally important. And both have lots of benefits. I mean, there's benefit to personal study. I can't tell you the times that I've opened the Word of God and I've sensed the Lord leading me to call someone, or he's exposed my sin, or he's comforted a fear. In those times alone, I read the Bible and I feel like God's speaking to me directly. I think that's one of the benefits of personal study, is you learn to hear the voice of God. John 14:26 says, this is the reason the Holy Spirit came. The counsel of the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father so he could teach you all things and remind you of everything that you've been told. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit to us. Sometimes people get frustrated and they say, I just want to hear God speak out loud to me. You want to hear God speak audibly? Open the Bible and read out loud. You'll hear God speak to you. He has spoken through His Word. Get into the Word and the Holy Spirit will guide your heart. Not only do you hear the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible, but you also have the opportunity to have aha moments. Self-discovery. Learning something from another is valuable, but learning something for yourself, you never forget it. You know, a kid learns to tie his shoes. And somebody shows them over and over, but then one day by themselves in their room, they figured out that something clicked in their brain. They taught themselves, and then they're showing every grandparent, they're showing every aunt and uncle, they're showing their classmates, you know, they're teaching little brother who's like two, here's how you tie your shoes. Because when we discover something, it's powerful in our life. When you learn a doctrine, or you read a promise, or you understand a timeline, or you grasp a principle, there's this powerful moment that lasts. Another positive benefit of personal study is you can study 24/7. Anytime you desire to know more about God, you have His Word. You don't have to wait for the next service. You don't have to wait for the next conference or the next class. You have the Bible. There's positive benefits to having a teacher as well. Let me share with you some of those. There is the remote possibility that a teacher may have more biblical knowledge than you. There's a good chance that someone who studied and prepared to teach and who's been set aside by the church and gifted by God may have knowledge that you don't. I don't claim to be the smartest person in this room. I never have. I think that has been clear from day one. I've never tried to elevate myself above, and being the smartest person in this room, I know I'm not. I went to a garage the other day. I was hearing some noises in my brakes. I stopped in to a garage and he said, have you checked your brake fluid? I said, no. And he said, well, you might want to do that. And I said, well, okay, well, but all right. So I went outside and I popped the hood and I opened it up. He came around in a few minutes and said, you might want to look back there. You know, I don't know much about checking brake fluid. But my guess is you don't know much about supralapsarianism. And I could probably teach you something about that. Some of you do. I get it. I hear you. but there's a good chance that someone who studied and prepared might know something that you don't know. it's beneficial to learn from people who are farther along. Number two, there is a humility that is developed when you are taught. Maybe you're here and you do know what supralapsarianism is. You know what infralapsarianism is. You know all the lapsarians. They're a good family. But anyhow, you might say, well, why do I need to sit under a teacher? Because there's humility in it. There's humility in saying that I don't know everything. There's humility in saying I need to learn and need to grow and develop and I need to hear maybe a different perspective. There's just a humility in that where we are dependent on another. I would also say that a teacher might not be biased to your sin, your preference, or your history. We sometimes try to justify our actions and prove our understandings and affirm our heritage when we get in the Word by ourselves, but a teacher probably doesn't know the weak areas in your life and your biases. I hear people say this to me all the time. Have you been videotaping my house? You know, what you preached on this week, I was struggling with. No, I haven't. I promise you. That's illegal. It's the Holy Spirit that applies the Word to your heart. Now, there are pitfalls to both of these methods, and I want to warn you of them. When you study personally or you sit under a teacher, there are things that could go awry. Number one, a teacher can become idolized. Jesus should always be the star of this story. When we show up together, this is always about Him. It's not about Nick. It's not about your life group teacher. It's not about Nuno. It's not about anyone who is here in this church. Jesus should always be the star. And what I've heard from people are things like this. You know, this guy in class, he's just amazing. You need to come and hear our new preacher. You need to hear our music guy. I want to tell you, it's not about the music guy. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the teacher. It's about the great Savior. We didn't come out on a slick, snowy day to come and hear a fallen man. We came out today to celebrate a God who came down to us in the person of Jesus, who lived a sinless life and died on the cross and rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. And He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory. And we're not. Let us not get to, He's worth it. Praise the Lord. But let us not get to where we idolize the teacher. The teacher may be gifted, but he's gifted by God. The teacher may be wise, but if he is, it's wisdom from above. The teacher may have knowledge. It's because God has given him capacity to have knowledge. Personal study has pitfalls. It can yield and has yielded flawed theology. Without some guidance and accountability or a good hermeneutic, a good way of understanding how Scripture fits together and how you should interpret Scripture, without those things, people have become confused over lots of subjects. They've gotten twisted around spiritual gifts, messed up over prophetic text. They've gotten caught up in numerology and a myriad of other problems. A few years ago, a popular heretic slash charlatan who used to run around the country doing healing services got on TV one day on one of these channels with lots of gold and big hair, but we won't go there. And he got on one of those channels, and he said, God revealed something to me in my personal study. God is not a triune God. God is a seven-part God. True story. Even heretics called him a heretic. They ask him, how did you come up with this nonsense? And he said, in my personal study, God revealed it to me. There is a danger in our personal study that we could develop flawed theology. That's why it's healthy to balance personal study and corporate learning. I think that personal learning may also leave you at a very shallow place. We have a tendency to read the same things, look for the same subjects, interpret in the same ways, and apply them as we always have applied them. If you have teachers, they should challenge you to dig deeper into the Word. Hebrews 5 verse 11 says, we have a great deal to say about this. We'd like to say more. He's talking about the greatness and supremacy of Christ, and we'd like to be able to say a lot more about this, but it's difficult to explain since you become too lazy to understand. You don't dig in. And then he says in verse 12, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you just wait for somebody to feed you the pablum every week. You ought to be digging deeper. That can happen in teaching as well. A flaw of teaching: a student may become too dependent upon a teacher. I'm gonna plow up close to the corn here. That's what we used to say in Western Kentucky when we were going to say something hard. There are those who make their decision whether or not they're going to come to life group on Sunday morning based on who's going to be teaching that life group. There are those who make their decision if they're going to show up to church, if the pastor is going to be preaching or not. Do you know if we're going to continue to reach people, we have to multiply? We have to multiply. We have to multiply classes. We have to multiply churches. If all we do is fill this place twice over or three times over, we're not even going to make a dent in what happens on the lostness spectrum of Lexington. We have to be a multiplication church. And when you multiply and you go out and you start new and you start a new class, you start a new church, it is difficult at first. And you don't have all the bells and whistles that you have in the comfort of that other large or that other known entity. But if we don't go out and we don't multiply, and all we do is add a few, the lostness rate will increase. I would also warn you that a teacher may be a persuasive heretic. This is how cults have started. Someone reads that only 144,000 are in heaven, and they take it very literally, but they ignore that in the very same book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the throngs of innumerable people. But yet they say that the 144,000 is very literal. Or someone reads that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers, and they misinterpret it to mean that Jesus and Satan are actually brothers. Persuasive heretics can start large cults. They have. That's why I encourage you to sit under godly instruction, but be like the Bereans, who in Acts 17, verse 11, they welcomed the message, they heard the message that was taught to them, but they examined in the Scriptures for themselves daily to see if this were so. I would encourage you to be that type. Now, how can you get the most out of your Bible study? Let me give you a couple things. Number one, have constant exposure to the Word. When I think of exposure, I think of being out in the sun. You know, when I was young, I never cared how much I was out in the sun. I played 45 holes of golf one day in like 93 degree weather and walked on a hilly golf course. You know, I didn't even think about it. My mom's like, "You're going to die out there." "Oh, I'm fine, Mom. I drank 7 Cokes." You know. Now, as I get older and I have more of me to be exposed, I think about exposure to the sun, and I understand that too much exposure is dangerous to the sun. But what I found is people are not overexposed to the Word of God, they're underexposed to the Word of God. You need exposure if it's going to change your life. So start your day with the Bible. A good way to get your mind right: let the Word of God wash over your brain. It gives you something to think about during your day. Meditate on the words. Start your day with the Word. I'd encourage you to set regularly under sound teaching. Start your week with the Word. Hear preaching. Set in life group. And I would challenge those of y'all who know a lot about the Bible, don't assume complete maturity. We all need to be challenged by the Word. And I would challenge you to humbly sit under the Word. It's so important for us to be exposed. For some of you here, your exposure to practical teaching started as a child. For some of you here, you've been in church since the day you were born. In VBS every year, memorized scriptures through Awana. What a blessing. You should thank God that from childhood you've known the scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. I would also challenge you to give the Bible to your children. Ephesians 6:4 says that we shouldn't provoke our children to wrath, but we should train them in the instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, you know this verse, train your children in the ways of the Lord. If you had a mom or a dad that exposed you to the Word of God, go home and hug their neck if you have that opportunity. If they're already gone to heaven, get on your knees and thank the Lord that you had parents who taught you the truth. You know, old preachers in the late 60s and 70s, when the hippie movement and sexual revolution and drugs became prevalent in our society, preachers used to say jokingly, I had a drug problem. Y'all have heard that 1,000 times. You know, my parents drugged me to church on Sundays. They drugged me to church on Sunday night, drugged me to church on Wednesdays. And, you know, when preachers would say that, we'd roll our eyes and laugh. I want to tell you, I don't want our kids to have a drug problem. I want the Word of God to come alive for children. I do. I mean, it's a shame for the Bible to be boring. This is the Word of life. That's why we have our Awana clubs where they can learn the Word. Miss Meg is teaching the kids through the Gospel Project in our kid track right now. We want the kids to be challenged by the Word because we know that the Word changes people. And you know what I found? The Word, when it's really changing you, creates hunger in you. And when you're hungry for the Word, it's just, you can just wait to see the transformation. A man in our church this week at a store, he didn't know what I was preaching on this Sunday, and he was telling me how much he was enjoying coming to services. And he said, Nick, is this normal? I just can't seem to wait till Sunday to get there to be in life group and to be in church. Is that normal? And I just smiled and said, man, I'm excited. And I thought to myself, no, unfortunately it's not. But it should be. I hear some of you, I've tried reading, Pastor. I've heard this sermon at least once a year and nothing's changed. I read the Bible through once, didn't do much for me. That's not that uncommon. You see, some people have been in the Word all their life and their life hasn't changed and they haven't grown. And I believe part of the reason is they haven't learned to apply the Word to their life. So many people treat the Bible like it's a fact book. They're interested in knowing revelation and knowing the history and arguing doctrines. But if you only read the Bible for these reasons, you may gain knowledge, but it won't change your life. The Bible wasn't meant to be a history book. The Bible was meant to transform you. And there's a big difference between learning the Bible for knowledge and learning the Bible to live like Jesus. When you're exposed to the Bible, there needs to be practical application. And you should get out of Sunday school. And if you're a life group teacher, you should ask yourself, how is my class going to live differently because of what they've heard? You should be asking that every week. As your pastor, I'm wanting you to be challenged to think, how is what I'm learning going to affect the way I treat people? When you're reading the Bible on your own, you should be asking, what is God saying to me? How will this affect my life? And if you're not applying the Bible personally, you won't see a difference. Lane Jones once said, unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good. The value's in the application. I think Jesus agreed. Jesus knew the secrets of the universe. He was there when the earth was formed. He knows which came first, the chicken or the egg. He knows all those things. He knows what God looks like, the Father. But his teaching wasn't focused on issues that had no impact on their lives. He focused on how man's everyday life was to be influenced by God. You see, the majority of Jesus' teaching focused right where we live. The content of Jesus' sermons were almost always application-oriented. The classic example is the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to how he teaches. He talks about purity. He says, guys, you know adultery is a sin. You know that fact. But I want to tell you guys, when you go home and you lust, you're right there. He said, you know murder's a sin. That's a fact. But I want to tell you, when you hate your brother without a cause, and you're blowing up on the people around you, guys, that's a problem. He said, you know that you're to forgive. Yeah, okay, but I tell you, let me put this into practice. When somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. He was pretty practical. He said, you're to be peacemakers. If someone wants a favor, do more than they ask. He talked about money and said, give it away. And he didn't even give us a percentage. He said, pursue people who've wronged you and make it right. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. This was the message that Jesus taught. Jesus talked to people where they lived. And if that's how the Lord talked and taught, we need to read the Bible and learn some of those things. Now listen, don't hear me. I read something online today that was incredibly disturbing, and never read Google reviews. Okay? It was incredibly disturbing because they said this church has left the gospel. I want to proclaim to you that what I'm saying about practical application is nothing if you don't understand the gospel. That Jesus has died on our behalf because we are sinners and we can't live this way. And we desperately need Him in our life. And we need Him to change us completely. But then we start living the gospel. And we start treating others differently because we've been treated differently. And we start loving our wife sacrificially because Jesus loved us sacrificially. And we start handling our money differently because this money is nothing but eternity. Is the true life. And treasure on earth is nothing compared to treasure in heaven. And the gospel has changed me completely. And for those who are so smug to say, we preach the gospel, we don't talk about everyday life, then you don't know the gospel. The gospel should affect how you treat people of different color and people who have different religions. The gospel should affect every aspect of your life. And if it's not, heaven help you. Jesus died to redeem all of you. I try hard to make biblical application. Our life group teachers try hard. Our Thrive classes try hard. But no matter how good the teacher is or how well they make application, it all comes down to obedience. It all comes down to obedience. It's one thing to believe in weightlifting. It's another thing to lift weights. It's one thing to believe in good nutrition. It's another thing to eat healthy. Hearing the word and understanding what the word means is not the same as doing and keeping the word. This is huge. Why? Well, let me give you a practical why. You have to live with the level of obedience you give. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. In the Sermon on the Mount, you know, the one with all the life instructions, Jesus ends that story with the parable of two builders. Some people hear what they say and they hear what Jesus says and they put it into practice. And he says, those folks are like a man who built his house on a rock. And there's other people who hear what Jesus says and they say, I've been in church all my life. Doesn't matter what he says. I'll get it right one day. He says those folks would be like people who built their life on the, or built their house on the sand. And when the storms come, the house falls. The point is, whether you're obedient or not, the level of obedience determines your outcome. When you follow God's word, your faith will grow and your life will change. So let me give you some takeaways today. Four takeaways. Number one, take personal responsibility for your Bible knowledge. I hope you enjoy coming here and hearing the gospel. I hope you enjoy coming here and being challenged into life application. But at the end of the day, you've got to take personal responsibility for your Bible knowledge. Number two, I would encourage you to regularly sit under the teaching of God's word. I would encourage you at a bare minimum in our church to be involved in life group and in Sunday morning worship. I would love for you, if you're not in Awana or youth group, to come and be in teaching on Wednesday night. We go a lot more in depth on Wednesday night. We're studying through the book of Mark right now. We're going to be in the book of Mark the entire year, verse by verse. Love for you to come. Number three, apply what you have heard and read to your everyday life. And number four, obey what you've learned. Life change begins with obedience. So if you want life change, I want to ask you one question and we'll wrap up, okay? Are you regularly in the Word of God? If you are, praise the Lord. If you're not, understand this, your life is built on a shaky foundation. If you built your life on the sand, I want you to know today it's never too late to head to the rock. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to be in your word. May your Holy Spirit drive us to learn the principles and commands that you have called your children to follow, so that we can show how grace has changed our life. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts, Lord. And if there's anyone here today who needs to make a decision for you, I pray that they would make it. And God, I pray that you would bless our time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.